الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
حيا على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
لا حول ولا قوة
حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
لا حول ولا قوة
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله
لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجهم واقتدى بسنتهم وهديهم إلى يوم الدين أما بعد My dear respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We are continuing our series of khutbah entitled Immigration and Integration الهجرة والاندماج And we are trying to cover in this series the most important strategic work of our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions over the course of 10 years in the Medina. The work in building the Muslim community identity, the work in da'wah, in integrating, and also reform in all aspects of life, such as the moral, educational, intellectual, political, economic, health, media, environment, etc. And we were trying to see how the Prophet ﷺ was interacting with all the different groups of the Medina society, Muslims and non-Muslims. While he balanced the preservation of the Islamic identity, al-hifaz ala al-hawiyya al-islamiyya, and citizenship, al-muwatana. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue our series by covering the fourth strategic project that the Prophet ﷺ he executed in the Medina. As a cornerstone in building the political identity of the Muslim community. It was a creative project and unprecedented in the history. This project is the Medina document, Wathiqat al-Medina. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, and after he completed building the mosque and establishing the brotherhood, and also establishing the Medina market, which we all cover in the previous khutbah series. He focused, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in organizing the relations between all the different groups in the Medina society, Muslims and non-Muslims. And he documented that in what we call the Medina document. In our terms today, we call it constitution. That's the simple form of the constitution. In which he clarified the obligation of all the parties in the Medina, Muslims and non-Muslims, and defined the rights and even responsibilities for each party. And it's considered the first constitutional document in history. And before it, the humanity only knew what we call laws, the law of such as the Roman laws and the Hammurabi laws. But this is the first time that they introduced to the concept of the constitution by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear respected brothers and sisters, writing such a document in the first 100 days of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrival to the Medina gives us many concept and implicit meanings, يعني معاني ضمنية, that we should, يعني it, about the nature of our religion, Islam, and the culture of our religion, Islam. And it's important to see these type of concepts and to learn from it and even to practice it. Concepts such as our Islam is an organized religion. This is what I learned from this. Our Islam is an organized religion. It does not accept randomness in work. And that's why it arranged the random relations between all the different parties of the Medina with that specific document. So it's an organized religion. Another thing that we see that Islam is proactive and it takes initiative. It does not stand by as an observer only. It was and it took the responsibility and the initiative in organizing all the internal relations of the Medina, even though that the Islam was a newcomer. Just arrived to the Medina a few days. Just less than 100 days. But it took the initiative to do that. Also our Islam, we learned that our Islam urges clarity in relations and it encourages the documentation and writing contracts, even though that our Prophet is illiterate, is ummi. And subhanAllah, this is an excellent proof that Islam is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not only from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not invented by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if it was invented, he will never ever talk about documentation while he's illiterate. Also, most importantly, Islam urges the Muslims to respect and commit all those type of contracts and agreements, and to fulfill these contracts from their side. And Islam stands firmly from those who breach those type of agreements, whomever they are, Muslims or non-Muslims. And that's an honorable image and a moral consistency that the Muslims, they should fulfill in their life and nowadays. And finally, I learned from that our Islam also encourages creativity in work, such as the subject that we are covering right now, which is the Medina document, the first written constitution in the human history. And it defined the concept of the citizenship and the coexistence in peace within the multicultural society. These are some of the concepts about the nature and the culture of our religion, Islam, that we learn from this specific action of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should understand and we should practice it in our life nowadays. My dear respected brothers and sisters, the subject of the Medina document is really big and it needs maybe multiple lectures to cover it. The Medina Constitution, for example, it has more than 47 articles. And each article I can take a full khutbah or a full lecture about it. But due to the limited time, I will divide the subject only to two khutbah. Today's khutbah, I will focus on the Medina's document, some of the Medina's document important principles. And inshallah, in the next khutbah, next month khutbah, I will talk about some of the rights and the duties that the Medina's document covered and tackled. So let's start today with some of the general principles of the Medina document that it covered. And inshallah, I will focus today only on three major principles, such as the unity, al-wahda, freedom of belief and worship, and the justice. But still, there are a lot of principles that we will cover, inshallah, in the next khutbah, such as the freedom of ownership, equality, safety, social solidarity, and social security, society security. So let's start with the first principle, which is the unity. The document mentioned the unity principle in two areas. You will notice that the document mentioned the unity in two areas. The first one is the unity of the Muslims in the Medina. It started with the unity of the Muslims of the Medina, because that was a new unity that the other parties who are involved in this specific document, they are not aware of, and they should be aware of, and they should know it. And the second important one The second important unity is the unity of all the Medina residents, Muslims and non-Muslims, which is defined nowadays by what we call citizenship. So let's start with the first one. At the beginning of the document, the first article, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he defined the Muslims as one nation when he said, "أنهم أمة واحدة من دون الناس." And they are one nation. This is one, the first article. And they are one nation from the rest of the people, about the Muslims. One nation, definition over here, it includes all the Muslims from Al-Ansar and Al-Muhajirin, and those who followed them and strived with them and even who joined them later. So it includes all those people. Keep in mind that this is the first time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he documented that brotherhood which he established a few days ago with the Muslims from Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, and he called them Al-Ansar. Then he did the brotherhood between Al-Ansar as an entity with the Muhajirin. And he called all that entity as one entity, which is the Muslimin. And this is where he documented that, to make all the people in the Medina aware of it, including the Muslimin, with that new identity. Because all what they are aware of at that time is just the tribes. They are not aware of that new entity that entered in this specific document. The Prophet ﷺ in this, he transferred the Muslim in this specific concept from the tribe slogan to the one nation slogan, which includes everyone who embraced that new religion. The one nation is a new concept in the political history and even in the Arabian Peninsula at that time. And by the way, many of the countries right now, nowadays, they use this term, the nation, in their constitutions, including our constitution over here and US constitution. And as we talk about the one nation concept, it's important to look further. And I urge all my brothers and sisters to look further about the real definition of the one nation in the Quran, which is the Muslim universal constitution from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our universal constitution from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know precisely what Allah wants us and to reflect this type of one nation concept in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, I will mention one of the ayat. And I will leave the others as a homework for the brothers and sisters to read in the Quran and to see exactly the definition and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He wants us to implement this in our life. One of the ayat is, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. That this nation is yours, of yours, is one nation, and I am your Lord, so worship me. So, which means that the nation whose members are united together by faith, feelings, concerns, principles, strategic goals, in the same way that they are connected to their Qibla when they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day, should think and act and work together as one nation, as one ummah. Then the document mentioned the second dimension of that unity, the unity of all the Medina residents, the Muslim and non-Muslim, which define, as I mentioned before, the citizenship. The document stated, إِنَّ يَهُودَ بَنِي عَوْفْ أُمَّةٌ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that the Jews of Bani Auf are nation with the believers. So, which includes the right of the citizenship for the Jews and also all the non-believers, because even in the document mentioned all the other tribes. So, it includes the right of the citizenship of the Jews and all the non-believers in the Medina, as long as they have the residency in the Medina and they are committed to the Medina's bylaws and the constitution, which we will cover inshallah, as I mentioned, in our next khutbah next month. So as you see over here, Islam put the foundation for the citizenship concept and how to live in peace with others based on a clear documented relationship of responsibilities, shared responsibilities and rights. The second principle is the freedom of belief and worship. And you will find it clear in the document. The document stated, for example, in one of articles, لِلْيَهُودِ دِينُهُمْ وَلِلْمُسْلِمِينَ دِينُهُمْ, that the Jews have their religion and the Muslims have theirs. So the freedom of belief and worship is granted to everybody. Is granted to everybody. Even the document warned whoever, anyone, who violate that principle or break that specific rule. The Jews in the Medina, for example, based on that specific document,
enjoy the complete religious and legal freedom in practicing their religion. And even they have their own rules and courts based on the Torah in judging among themselves. And they are not obliged actually to refer to the Islamic judiciary except in two situations. If the problem is really significant and big, that it will affect and it will corrupt, its corruption will go beyond the Jews community. In that case, they have to remove it to move it to the Islamic judiciary. Or if, in the second thing, if it happened between them and the Muslim. So if one of the parties is the Muslim, they have to put it in front of the Islamic judiciary. Other than that, they can have their own courts. So that's the type of the freedom of belief and worship. And by the way, if we look, as we are talking about that, if we look at the Islamic history, you will realize that the concept of even conquering the new lands in Islam was mainly to remove the aggression, mainly to remove the aggression away from the people and to deliver the clear message of Islam without any distortion to the people, and to give them, and this is the most important thing, and to give them the complete freedom of belief and worship. If they don't want to believe in Islam, they have the full freedom to stay in the Islamic country and to obey all the rules of the country and to take all the rights of the citizens inside the Islamic country. But there is a full freedom of belief and worship in Islam. لا إكراه في الدين. This is a basic rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran. The third principle is the justice. The justice is one of the great principles which is clear in this specific document, because it's one of the bases of any society stability. The document mentioned وَأَنَّ النَّصْرَ لِلْمَظْلُومِ, and the support is for the oppressed. And you will notice over here the term oppressed is what we call a general sense, يعني عام. This means that regardless of the oppressed person, religion, origin, language, color, they will get the full support to get their rights back. And the aggressor, is to get punished. Islam makes it the responsibility of the leaders, basically, to establish the justice among the people who they lead. And this is like a corrective action. If the aggression happened, the leader, he will interfere, and the judiciary system, it will clear that type of aggression. But also the Islam created another level of preventive, which is basically Islam makes the general responsibility for all the believers, the Muslim believers, to establish justice to everyone that they interact with in a daily basis, Muslims or non-Muslims, in the dealings. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. The general meaning of this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believers to be justice with all the people, Muslims and non-Muslims, and regardless of their belief, but also the most important thing, regardless even for the internal emotion inside the Muslim toward that specific person, whether he likes it or dislikes it, he should be justice with him. So that's like a preventive before even going to the court. They are doing it in a daily basis when they deal with everybody. That was a brief description about some of the principles in the Medina document that it had. And there are more principles, inshallah, we will cover and we will explore next month khutbah under the rights and the responsibilities. أسأل الله تعالى أن يعلمنا ما ينفعنا وينفعنا بما علمنا وأن يزيدنا فقها وعلما في الدين وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ومن سار على نهجهم واقتدى بسنتهم وهديهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, my dear respected brothers and sisters, as usual I will conclude the subject of my khutbah which is about the Medina document, with a set of lessons learned, recommendations, and even some of the suggested projects, in a way to, which is related to the topic of the khutbah, in a way to, transfer these type of abandoned sunnahs and abandoned meanings, and to move it from the theoretical dimension to the practical reality. And the following are some of those recommendations and projects that came into my mind that related to the subject. The first one, I highly recommend focusing on the Muslim community unity here in Canada. What we need today over here in Canada and even in the West, and even in the immigration, in any place, what we need more than the fiqh of minority, we need the fiqh of the ummah, how we work all together, how we think and act all together. Because a lot of big problems, you cannot solve it as an individual, as a minority, with the mentality of the minority. We have to work all together. We have to see each other as we are completing each other, not competing with each other. Unfortunately, if somebody open a school in one area, immediately they will, another person, he will open a school beside them. So as if we are competing. It shouldn't be like that. We should look at each other as we are completing, because the project is much bigger than me and you and even any type of organization. And I should see each one of you as an asset in his work, and he's on a thagr of the Islam. So we need to revive this. And we need, in a dire need for that fiqh, fiqh al-ummah, more than fiqh, the minority. The second thing, we need to participate more in politics and to have a voice in this. Not participating will allow the others to dictate their rights, their values, which will affect our freedom of speech and beliefs and values that they taught even to our kids in the schools. So see what's happening actually right now in Quebec. So it's not far from us. And it could move right now soon to any other province if we don't act. So if we stayed silent and just watch on the sidelines. Beside the participation, we need also to participate, we must define actually what we need and how to participate as a Muslim community, what we need as a Muslim community. It's not enough just to go to the politicians and ask them how you're gonna serve us, how you can serve us. They won't be able actually to help us if we don't know what we need. We need, for example, I will give you some tips to keep it in mind. We need anti-Islamophobia law on the provincial and the federal level. And now this is the right time, because even it's recognized by the Prime Minister talking about Islamophobia. If we couldn't move it right now to be a law, when are we gonna move it? Also, stop teaching and promoting the values that contradict with our faith and values over here in the public schools for our kids. Stop the double standard in the political refugees process. If you see the Ukrainian, the way that they deal with the Ukrainian comparing to the Muslims. 2 weeks for screening versus 2 years or 3 years for screening for the Muslims. Also supporting Islamic school in funding in this province especially, because most of the concentration is over here in this province. Some provinces like Saskatchewan and Alberta, they do funding for the Islamic schools. So why we don't do it over here? And now we are in a dire need for it because what they are teaching over there in the public schools. The schools, for me, it's a strategic commodity. And it should be free. It's like the mosque. It should be free. It shouldn't be like $1,000 for the person to... Nobody is able to do the $1,000. Besides, the capacity is very low. We have to think as with the schools, not as a business. We have to think it as a dawah. And it should be a strategic commodity. Work day and night to make it free for our brothers and sisters. The fourth thing is that some of the parties right now, maybe on the 25th of June of this month, they will have what they call a party leadership. Conservative party leadership, we need to have a clear say with that, because we have some of the potential candidates actually who agree with all the demands that I mentioned over here for the Muslims. And this is crucial because this will move the party from the far right to the middle, at least. In addition to that, one of the long-term goals that I suggest for my brothers and sisters is to penetrate the political parties by adding an active young Muslim members in these specific parties, and that to work within the party to change and develop their internal policies and values that match the values of the Muslims or close to the values of the Muslims. And if we couldn't penetrate any of those parties, at least to create our own party. أسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفعني وإياكم بسيرة حبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا من بيننا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهدنا لخير الأعمال والأقوال فإنه لا يهدي لخيرها إلا أنت اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين شرا فخذوا أخذ عزيز مقتدر فإنهم لا يعجزوك إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم وأقم الصلاة